This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. We go immediately to Seattle, where there is an installation on the buses of Seattle to protect the customers and the driver from. Jeff, a very good evening to you. What does fentanyl mean on a bus? What does this do to people if it's detected?
Good evening, John. Fentanyl, which is a very dangerous drug when it's in its pure form, but certainly when it's in other forms can be even more deadly, has been wreaking a toll across the country. And so we have people that are on board buses here in Seattle who have been smoking fentanyl, and the fumes would fill the bus. Many of the drivers became so sick they needed to stop driving or seek emergency medical treatment. And the interesting thing is they've had more than 50 of their operators file medical claims, worker compensation claims for drug and chemical exposure. And Seattle, like other places, is seeing what fentanyl is doing to the population. And in a service like this, where people are enclosed, you know, in these tubes, basically in a bus, they're saying we need to take some step to try to, you know, mitigate it, or at least try to help people out of the situation when the bus is filled up with fentanyl.
Seattle, Washington, and we go to Portland, Oregon, where the homeless have overrun downtown Portland. Jeff reported on this two summers ago. But now the franchises are leaving. What's happened, Jeff?
The latest in these franchises to leave is Cracker Barrel, which is kind of an American institution. And so they're losing several franchises in the Portland area. And this comes in the wake of other big companies leaving, like the Walmarts and the Walgreens and such, because they say, well, you know, post-pandemic economics have changed. But really what everybody will tell you is crime is taking its toll. The homelessness is impacting the way business is done, the way customers and employees are you know, dealing with things there. So they're just packing up their bags and leaving. They're saying, this is crazy. We're not getting any support from the government. We can't keep putting up with this because it's too great of an expense, both in terms of costs, because we're losing so much, and on our human resources. People are really being impacted by it.
Now we come to California. This is the first in weeks, Jeff, that we've not led with the storms, the rivers that have been flowing over you, and rain and snow. But we go now to the snowpack. You've sent me pictures these last days. How big is it, and is it still growing?
It is still growing, although at a very slow rate right now, because we have not had as much snow in the past day or so. They expect more snow coming up, but again, not very much. We have snow in some areas where it's 50 or 60 feet deep up in the Sierras, whereas most of the ski resorts are. It's so big that people can't get in there to ski. But this is the most snow that we've ever seen or it's ever been recorded. Now we know we've surpassed all previous records, and we're not done yet. So ski season here is going to go easily into July, perhaps beyond that. There's more snow than anybody can deal with.
And the rain, Jeff. We've spoken of the bucketing of rainstorms that have swept through Southern California. What is the expectation for the weekend?
There's no real rain expected for the Southern California area. There may be some slight precipitation up in Northern California, not really in that term, you know, to be put in the same category as bucketing. But every bit of rain just, you know, it adds, you know, more salt in the wound, because the ground is so saturated, the rivers and creeks are overflowing. It's just, you know, every time we get more moisture anywhere in the West, it adds misery. So everybody's hoping that this will be near the end of things, but there are supposed to be some more storms perhaps brewing off in the Pacific that could be here in a week or two.
We come to Los Angeles County, and you're in Orange County, south of there. You tell me that Los Angeles also is vulnerable to shoplifting, and that you've witnessed such a thing. What did it look like?
This was in Hollywood. I was there recently for an event. I happened to stroll into one of the CVS stores there, and there were a small group of people there that were actively engaged in kind of scouting out the area and beginning a shoplifting thing going on there. So the manager called in security. They, of course, pleaded that they weren't doing anything wrong. I was there to see it with my own eyes, as was everyone else. So I spoke with the manager about it later, and she was almost reduced to tears. She said, you know, this goes on and on and on every day. We have to call security all the time. I have to watch the store all the time. It just is a never-ending parade of these shoplifters that come in and hit us. And she said, you know, I don't know why the politicians won't help us. They know what's going on. We tell them what's going on. And yet this goes on day after day, sometimes hour after hour.
Is this homeless, Jeff, or are these people who are just taking advantage of the disorder in the streets? Can we tell?
You can really tell. I think she said that they see when the homeless come in, it's often a nuisance type of situation. They might take something that just actually helps them survive. It doesn't make it any, you know, more right, but it's the other people that are coming in with bags and sweeping things off the shelves. And, you know, they're picking that, you know, they want the electronics if they can get them. They couldn't get them in that store. So they're going for beauty supplies, which were also big things for shoplifters to take. So, you know, there's a difference between the people who come in and just take random things and the people who seem to come in with a shopping list or a plan how to do it, which is what this group looked like. And she said, that's really the hardest thing to deal with. She said, you know, the homeless is, they've always been a problem in Hollywood. Always a challenge for us. But these people nowadays, this is organized. And she said it's heartbreaking because nobody seems to care.
You take me to east of San Diego to a fixer-upper. I guess that's what we can call it. It is a shack. The back of the shack is a wasteland. There's a ruined railroad car nearby. Where is this, Jeff?
This is out in the Holtville area, which is about 2 hours east of San Diego, out in more desert-like terrain, but really that's out in the Imperial Valley, which is very agriculturally rich. It's a beautiful area, but it's not far from the Mexican border as well. And so you do have a lot of areas out there that have seen people residing there for years, for decades, actually, even centuries. And some of those places have just fallen apart with time. And this is one of them. And it's kind of indicative of what you see with real estate throughout California. Ridiculous prices for very little.
$1 million for this shack in a wasteland along the road. Okay, California's still got pricing out of the middle class. Back to San Diego, you sent me a picture of a tent in the streets of San Diego. Remember a couple of years ago when we started reporting, San Diego had all these ideas of small houses assembled in areas. Have they abandoned all that, taking care of large numbers in a centralized area?
They're still trying to do that to a certain degree. However, the homeless problem in San Diego, like everywhere else throughout the West Coast, has just exploded. They can't keep up with it. You know, we had a mayor successfully run for office, Todd Gloria, who said, you know, I'm going to end homelessness. And a year later, the homelessness problem in San Diego is worse. And people will tell you so is the crime and all the other attendant problems that go with it. So, you know, this is not a situation that's getting better. It really is getting worse by the day.
And you have a new mayor in Los Angeles, Karen Bass. And it's early yet, I understand. But is there any noticeable change in the homeless environment of downtown L.A.?
None whatsoever. There seems to be a new emphasis on trying to find some solutions, but it's mostly, you know, about talking about them and studying it, not really making things happen. So there's no one that I'm aware of saying, yeah, things are better. And as I showed you last week in some photos, having gone through the LA and the Hollywood areas, the homeless situation is just out of control. You have encampments that are actually small towns, if you want to be correct. They're really small towns with all laid out with tents and lean-tos and such. I haven't seen anything like that since photos of Hooverville in the Depression.
Governor Newsom, not running for president, says Governor Newsom, but he's beginning a national tour to do what, Jeff?
He's going to fight authoritarianism. And so what he's going to do is, he's taking $10 million out of his state campaign funds, and he's going to, you know, launch the campaign for democracy, as he calls it. And he's going to, you know, boost Democrats and push back on Republicans in the red states. So he's going to hit the states of Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama, and show people that the real America is what California looks like.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. The storms have abated for Southern California for the moment. The snowpack promises skiing until July. There's a silver lining. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.